You're recording. Okay. Thank you. We are back in session and it's 1:31. We are on section number 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. We are on number 3, 4, and 5, our 3-pack. And we are going to start with number 3, 2360, in regards to Vicki Harris, DVM. So Ms. Harris and her attorney, it looks like Cynthia, if you'd like to come forward. Okay, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Vicki Harris in the case of 2360. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Harris, please introduce yourself and then your attorney may so as well.
That's Dr. Vicki Harris.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Cynthia Patine for Dr. Harris.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Harris, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials that you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Let's see, Dr. Nosley, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, thank you. On November 29, 2022, Mac, a one-year-old male standard poodle, was presented to Dr. Harris for vomiting, diarrhea, and eating less for approximately 2 weeks. The complainant approved diagnostics and treatments, which included a Varium series. The dog was discharged later that day with instructions to return the next day for a repeat radiograph to ensure the Varium is continuing to move through the intestines. On November 30th, 2022, the dog was presented for a repeat radiograph. Dr. Dordo evaluated the dog and did not see any obvious obstruction on the radiographs. Another CBC was performed. Dr. Dordo consulted with Dr. Landman, who later spoke with the complainant to get approval for an ACTH stimulation test. The complainant approved and the dog was discharged to the complainant. The complainant did not hear back from either Dr. Dordo or Dr. Landman with respect to the accuracy of the blood results from that day. On December 2nd, 2022, the dog was presented to an emergency facility where septic peritonitis was suspected. Exploratory surgery was recommended. The complainant declined and the dog was humanely euthanized. The dog was brought to Dr. Landman for necropsy. Dr. Landman found a large mass of intestines stuck together. After separating the intestines, there was a rupture in the ileum. No foreign body was found. The complainant reported that Dr. Landman refused to give her dog's cremains or a refund until she altered her negative online review and paid her bill to her nonprofit organization.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Harris, at this time, I would now like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Harris, we would now like to give you and your attorney an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you, Madam Krieger, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and members of the board. When you look at the records, because I know you've done, this is something that you all have considered over a number of days in terms of hearings that you've had. What you will see is that that Matt presented to Dr. Harris on November 29th. He was febrile when, at the beginning of the visit, she ordered appropriate diagnostics. She examined him. His abdomen was normal. She kept him throughout the day while she administered the barium series, and she observed him outside of the kennel that day. He was noted to be up and moving around. He wasn't in distress. By the end of the day, he was no longer febrile. And according to the history and what Dr. Harris saw on the x-ray, there was no perforation or obstruction. Dr. Harris never would have released the dog if she thought that there was something more serious going on. She thought she had ruled out a perforation or an obstruction, and that this was something like inflammatory bowel disease or some other chronic condition that could be managed. She knew that the dog would be coming back the following day, Mac would be coming back the following day and have another set of eyes on him, and more information would be gathered. But as of 11:29, the care that Dr. Harris gave was reasonable. In order to be negligent, your care must be unreasonable. Dr. Harris's care was reasonable under the circumstances. If there was a misdiagnosis, that does not necessarily mean there was negligence, so long as the care was reasonable. And I believe the basis for the board's concern is the fact that a retrospective review of the x-rays shows a perforation, but it was an unusual presentation with the adhesions that were collecting the barium and making it appear as though it was moving through the intestines. Under those circumstances, where this is a 1 to 2 year old dog with no known history that would have led Dr. Harris to suspect the presence of adhesions, this presentation wasn't something that a reasonable doctor would look at and know that there's a perforation. And so you can be reasonable and still miss a diagnosis or miss a finding. And this seems to be one of those cases. Two more doctors looked at it, two more who were also capable and knowledgeable physicians looked at this and didn't see a perforation the following day. It's more likely that instead of those three doctors all being negligent, this was an unusual presentation and one of those cases where you can look at something and there can be more than one interpretation, and more than one interpretation could be reasonable because of the alteration of the anatomy and the unusual presentation. That seems to be what happened here, and we're hoping that the board sees that and does not vote to issue discipline or something more than a letter of concern. I will tell you that Dr. Harris has modified her practice so that if there's anything she could have done to prevent this on 11/29, to prevent the outcome, that she is taking measures now and steps now to change her practice so that if there was anything she could have done differently that would prevent the outcome, she is doing that now. She is interested and maybe has already signed up for additional continuing education in reading imaging. She's also offering overreads to all of her patients, a radiology overread for all x-rays that are taken. So, and I think she's just, this is on her mind now on a regular basis. So this isn't lost on her, the gravity of this situation, and it's very painful, not only for the family, but also for Dr. Harris, I can tell you that. So those are all of the initial statements that I would make, and I don't know if Dr. Harris has anything to add, but she's encouraged about having the opportunity to talk to you today and answer any of your questions.
Thank you. Dr. Harris, do you have anything you would like to add?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Thank you. I would now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Harris.
Hi, Dr. Harris. Thanks for coming back. On 11/29, when you, this was your case, how was the patient admitted to the hospital on that day? Can you describe that?
How was he
admitted to the hospital that day? Who saw him first and what happened?
Me. I was the only.
So no one, the staff didn't triage him or do vitals?
It was a regular appointment.
So who took his temperature?
The technician.
That's what I was. So they saw him first. Okay. And then we had some information that they were concerned and they took him to the back. So your examination was done in the back? Or was it done in the room with the owner?
I'm sure it was done in the room. So he was in the room before I brought him into the back for the drop off for the day. He was still in the room with the client.
Dr. Harrison, sir, can you talk just a little bit about it?
Well, the information that we have in the states that the technical staff took his temperature, the history, was concerned, and I think there's even the term rushed him in the back. So then you brought him back to the room?
From what I recall, I was talking to the client in the room about everything of what I was recommending for the drop-off and the barium series and treatment. Mm-hmm. To my recollection, Mac was still in the exam room with the client.
And your examination on Mac was done in the exam room with the client?
From my recollection.
Okay. Conflict in the information that we have that says the staff took him in the back. That's why I'm asking the question. In your record, it lists the patient as QAR. Does that mean quiet, alert, and responsive?
Yes. So,
and why was that considered an abnormality?
Well, for normality to me would be BAR, bright, alert, responsive. Quiet, alert, responsive, I mean, I would really say it's an abnormality. It's just not being very interactive with the staff.
Okay. And so your examination, as you recall, was done in the exam room. Can you remember, did your exam include a standing palpation of the abdomen? He was standing and palpated his abdomen. Okay. What does it mean in the record? Muscle testing, yes, HP, question.
That's just energy testing we do with foods.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
It's hard to explain. I mean, it's nothing invasive at all. It's just kind of general. We put different foods up to animals. And
I'm sorry, can you speak up? I'm hard.
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, I can't make anything out of the record. Let's break it down. What is muscle testing?
It's essentially energy testing. We just call it muscle testing because we're using each other's energy or our muscles.
Your muscles?
Yeah. I know. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah. Tell me how it works.
So we put different foods or medications next to a patient, and then we have usually a technician hold the patient with the medication or foods, and then we try to muscle test energy by pulling the person's fingers apart. And if we can pull that person's fingers apart, then that means it's weakened. That means that food or medication has weakened that animal's energy along with the person who was holding their energy. So we might say that food might not be not good for them anymore. There may be something wrong with that food.
So then you get information about the food from that particular test.
That's probably just maybe I was.
Is that a test that you used in your veterinary training, you're in school, or
no?
Okay, so it was unique to this practice. You're not at this practice anymore. Okay, the practice you're at now, do they do muscle testing? Okay. The barium series radiographs, the Would it be fair to say your primary rule out at this point was obstruction?
Yes. Obstruction for a younger dog, I would think obstruction would be my first, my primary.
And you hope to get that information from a parent? Would it be typical to have a chronic diarrhea of 2 weeks or more duration in an obstruction?
No.
That would be unusual?
Yeah.
To continue to have diarrhea, eat a little bit, and be obstructed. And the vomiting had subsided somewhat?
From what I recall, the vomiting had subsided by the time he came to me, but he was still having diarrhea, but in not eating.
Okay. So again, why were VD radiographs not taken?
That was just kind of standard there. We just usually did lateral or barium series just to help the cost of plants couldn't have trouble with cost of treatment or diagnostics. We usually tried to do minimum diagnostics to help so they can also get to pay for treatments too.
So in terms of the cost, is it per radiograph? Is that how they're?
Each additional.
There's not one charge for a barium series, long or short. It's each film. I'm showing my age film. Each image does.
I believe it was as each additional x-ray, there was another new charge.
Okay.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Can the public in the back hear?
Yeah.
Just a little bit, okay. Could everybody please speak up?
Is it me? Am I talking? Okay. So it was standard operating procedure in the hospital not to take VD, but if you wanted a VD, you could have taken it.
I mean, if I just did it without charging the client, I could have done it, I'm sure. But I mean, if I wanted to do a VD along with each view that we did, each grad that we took, then that would be an extra.
That would add cost.
Yeah. And that was just typically what we did to avoid extra.
Does that concern you that the cost is the driving factor to maybe a important part of this case?
Well, I mean, I was under the impression that if I didn't offer at least just lateral views, and I might not be able to do any x-rays or
okay.
That's why.
So it was cost driven. Okay. And so would that also explain why there was a delay of 3 hours between the 225 radiograph and the 527 radiograph? Again, that would have been more images, more cost.
Right, yeah, we do try to space them out more so that we can not have to do as many views.
Do you sometimes get information if you follow the barium through at a more frequent interval?
Sometimes.
Other than obstruction is black and white,
yeah,
like you
sometimes,
said.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, your interpretation of the 527, the last radiograph of the day on 11/29, was normal passage of barium?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you dispense prednisone to the patient?
Because I just thought maybe this is something more chronic going on since it had been 2 weeks and now we haven't, the vomiting was gone. And it was mostly diarrhea. Now I thought maybe this is possibly an IBD situation.
Okay, so the inflammation you were treating, GI inflammation.
Yes.
At that point. The presentation of the 104.7 temperature didn't concern you?
It did, and I gave him some sub-Q fluids and the temperature went back down to normal by the end of the day. He was there for most of the day.
Yeah, came in the morning and did really home till 6. So the last radiograph was at 5:27, so he was there all day. Okay. Why did you dispense tramadol?
I thought maybe he was uncomfortable. He wasn't eating. My therapist, that was her name, but.
So you were treating pain. What pain were you treating? Or just based on history? Is that what I heard?
Oh yeah, his history. And then he had been having this for, I guess, what I understood to be 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if he seemed uncomfortable, I believe I gave him Serenia that day, mm-hmm. too. And I just thought if he is uncomfortable, then.
Pain management. Okay. So the supportive care that you gave was in the morning, which included fluids and antibiotic injections. Is that correct? Subcutaneous fluids.
Yes.
Okay. And anything after that? I didn't see anything in the record. Any repeat of fluids or injections?
No.
At the end of the day?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So how was the patient released from the hospital 11/29/22? Did you speak to the owner regarding the results of the blood work and the radiographs? Here's where we're at right now. Here's what I see. Here's the results.
I don't recall. Honestly, that one. I don't recall much what communication I had. I know when he was discharged, I mean, I didn't think he was in any way critical. The x-rays I interpreted as looked like the variant was moving through, and he seemed fine. So I just thought it'd be okay to send him home with just some medication.
And schedule him for the
right.
follow-up.
And the next morning to come in for the variant, another x-ray.
Which was your day off.
Right.
The next day. So how was the transfer in the case to the next day? So attending doctor handle. How does that work?
If the doctor who initially saw, whoever saw the previous day, they always knew, we always had the barium series come in the next morning, first thing, usually 8 o'clock, 8:30. And it's scheduled as a tech appointment, but it's understood that, of course, whichever doctor is attending rooms that morning, would be the one to look at the x-ray.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Solomon?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Harris, did you have any discussions? Was there anything verbally said? Did you brief? Was it Dr. Dordo who was on call? Was in the
He was the one there Tuesday.
Was that the following day when the barium was done?
Tuesday was the initial day when I first saw Matt.
Okay.
But Dordo was there that day, the only other doctor there that day.
Okay, so you both were there that day. Okay, but the next day when the dog was to come back for the test.
The x-ray.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, thank you. You were not there, correct? It was your day off.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, did you have any discussion with Dr. Dordo about this case that he was going to be seeing that you had just seen the day before?
Brief, just that there was another barium x-ray coming in the morning. It was a very brief discussion. Just be aware of what he knew.
Okay, yep, Dr. Thompson?
Dr. Harris, I just had a couple of questions. So when you first saw Mac in the room with the owner, did you discuss what your differential diagnoses were?
Yes.
And did you discuss treatment options with the owner?
I mean, I don't recall specifically. I mean, I just probably just gave my recommendations of what to give him that day, all the treatment that we did that day, and all the x-rays and the barium series.
And was the owner given an estimate?
I don't recall.
Okay. And based on, so you felt that with the fever that he had, did you discuss at all with the owner the difference or the benefit between IV fluids versus subcutaneous fluids?
I don't think so.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay. Do any other board members have questions? Okay, you may step back, and we are now going to hear from the complainant, Ms. Chelsea McGuire, if you would like to come forward. Hi, please introduce yourself and then I will swear you in.
Chelsea McGuire.
Okay, thank you. Ms. McGuire, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And now I'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to the board, and just note that I will let you come up after each of the respondents is up here, so just keep that in mind. Okay, thank you.
I can answer some of the questions that you guys have asked. When I brought Mac in, the tech was the one who took his temperature and took him right back. Dr. Harris didn't do an exam with me and the dog in the room. She did that back in the back. She came in and said, because I had said that he had kind of had a picky stomach, she said, oh, we'll do some food allergy testing on him. That might be why he's having this problem. But we'll also do the barium to rule out the obstruction. That was really the only time I spoke with her, even when they had to physically carry him to the back when I got there. And I had been waiting a couple hours in the morning, so he wasn't given like a priority in the morning. We sat off and looked in the lobby for a while. When I came, nobody had called me all day long to let me know on his status, and I had called to check on him and nobody could give me any information. They actually said, when I did call, they said, oh, he's doing better. And I said, oh, is he up and moving? And they said, no, he's not really eating still either, but his fever's gone. I said, okay, well, I mean, he's almost 2-year-old puppy. He should be up and moving if he was feeling better. They said that no, he was still laying down. When I came to pick him up, he could barely even walk through the door. He was just dragging his feet and just stood there, and I had to physically carry him to the car. I did get an estimate, and it was a few hundred dollars different than what I had ended up paying. I think that was all the questions that you guys asked. My main concern was, you know, getting him better. And when it felt like they had ruled out the most critical thing, I was kind of like hesitant to do other testing that they were kind of just shooting in the dark. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. If they had asked me to do another radiograph to rule it out and be sure, I would have done it. But I was never offered that. Nobody ever really communicated with me at all. It was just when I had gotten there, talking to the tech, and at the end, taking him up.
Okay, thank you. Do any board members have questions?
If I could just one real quick question. You kind of touched on it. You did receive an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Were you given an estimate with the option of another type of view of x-ray? So these were just lateral views. Were you given another one that included the VD and the cost and so that you couldn't do it?
No.
Okay. And were you given an estimate that included IV fluids?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Allman. Sure.
Thank you. When you left that day, were you told to bring Mac back the next day? Were you told it would be a different veterinarian?
No.
It would be some? Thank you.
So your narrative said you brought Mac to Pets Vet to rule out obstruction, but are you saying now it was more just to find out what was wrong with it? It wasn't just, please rule out obstruction.
When I made the appointment, I said what his symptoms were, and I had taken him to another vet a few days before, and they had mentioned that was a possibility. So I was getting a second opinion and I was going to go with them. And when I came, that was already the main testing that they were going to do, was to rule out obstruction. And that was my understanding, that was going to be done from the beginning.
Okay. And the visit to the first vet was a few days
mm-hmm.
before that. Can you describe that visit as far as how Mac was doing, what your conversations with that doctor was.
When I brought him in that day, they had me keep him in the car because they did a parvo test and a giardia test first. And he was up and moving at that point. His tail was wagging. He was, you could tell he was not feeling well, but he was moving more than he was when I brought him in. When I spoke to that doctor, he did a physical, running his hands over the dog, and he said he might have obstruction, but it's kind of odd to me that he's eating still and drinking still, and it's coming out. He said if it was obstruction, I would expect him not to be going at all. And then I said, okay, and then I paid for that visit, and then I just wanted to get a second opinion of what they thought. So that's why I was back to that.
Okay. And why did you pick as that? Was there a particular reason?
Yeah, I had gone on Facebook and asked for a compassionate vet. I didn't feel like I felt like just a catapult at the first place that I went to. Okay. So a lot of people recommended Pets Vet, and that's why I went there.
So from that time you took him back to the first vet, and then when you took him to Pets Vet on 11/29, describe how he was doing in that period of time. Was he progressively getting worse? Was he the same? What was going on with him?
I mean, from the visit at the first doctor to Pets Vet, he had declined. It was, I think, about a day and a half is the time frame that, I think he had gone on a Saturday and I had him in by Tuesday. That was the earliest I could get him in.
And did Mac walk into the Pets Vet on his own?
Yes, he did. I had my daughter with me, but I was just kind of hobbling him along. Yeah.
But then once you got in, someone had to carry him.
Oh, he collapsed on the floor.
He collapsed in the reception area.
Yes.
While you were waiting.
Mm-hmm. And
and someone carried him into the exam room at that point?
I think I carried him into the exam room.
You carried him.
And all the people around us were saying, oh, is he a senior dog? And I said, no, he's only two. And yeah. I said, oh, he looks like he's having a rough time.
So, would it be fair to say very depressed and weak? And
yes.
Okay. And then initially it was technicians. They were concerned enough to rush him in the back. Mm-hmm. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, because of the fever.
Because of the fever, mainly. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you had interaction with Dr. Harris. Mm-hmm. She came in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. During the day, did you have any conversations with Dr. Harris during the day or when he was released? Mm-hmm. Any at all?
Mm-hmm.
Or from a technician relaying information from Dr. Harris?
No.
Okay. So, regarding the radiographs and blood work that was done that day, who told you about those findings, or when did you find out about the blood work and radiographs, or when were you told about the results, or were you told?
I didn't get told it. They were supposed to do a valley fever test, and mm-hmm. they said that was going to take a few days.
Right.
So that was the blood work. They said, oh, it'll be a few days. Other than that, it was just, oh, he looks like he's doing better. His fever is better.
And this is the technical staff
giving
you that? Okay.
I said, has he eaten? Because I actually called later because I was supposed to give him his medication. And I said, has he eaten at all while he was there? And I said, no, he didn't eat at all. And they just told me that we'll see you in the morning.
Thank you. That's all I have for now.
Are there any other questions for the complainant? Okay.